Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I spent my day today cuddling with my five-year-old daughter, Reagan, because she's sick, which means I'll probably be getting sick. And it's nice to hear about that new flu strain that's making its way around. I don't think she has the flu, just a cold. But nevertheless, we had to do a run for saltine crackers and pretzels. So, but beyond that, I have not left the house, and I just took a shower, and I just got ready to go for the show, because when your five-year-old daughter's sick and wants to cuddle and watch movies, what are you going to do? You got to do it. So that's how it goes. And my wife had some things she could not get out of today. She's now on mom duty. I was on dad duty. Now she's on mom duty. It's good to divide and conquer like that. And in case you're wondering, we watch Freaky Friday, the one with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, and the first one that they made together, and then The Grinch. So getting in the Christmas spirit, in case you're wondering how the day went, and lots of saltine crackers. So just craving saltines. What are you going to do? I mean, not much. As we are looking at some of the big stories today, we're awaiting this rocket launch to Mars, to orbit Mars, is SpaceX going to Mars, which I guess we'll probably be living there soon if it all works out. We'll find out about that. There's a new book out about Bob Menendez called Gold Bar Bob, all about his crimes and the ultimate takedown of Bob Menendez. We're going to talk to the authors of that a little bit later in the show today. And I'm very excited because my buddy Kennedy is going to be on the show later. She's got a show coming up at Soul Joel's in Pottstown, PA, where Jimmy Fallon's been and Brian Kilmeade's been, and Kennedy's going to be there next week. So I saw her the other day, and she said, hey, can I come on your show? And I said, absolutely, we'd love to have you. So she'll be on the show today at 4:30. So we got a lot going on today, and it's very, very busy. The controversy over the 50-year mortgage. You know, the thing that I have not really heard many people say is, isn't it amazing how the government is involved in this in the first place? Really, I mean, truly, if you want a 50-year mortgage and you want to work that out with your bank, but the problem is we've created this system whereby the government has gotten so entrenched in the mortgage industry that you've got people debating whether or not a 50-year mortgage is a gift to the banks or whether it helps homeowners because it gives them lower payments. And many people don't stay in their home for 50 years anyway. These days, people move. And I think the average is every 7 years or so you might move. Maybe not you, but we're in our second house. And we upgraded because we had another kid that we didn't plan on having. So that's Reagan, the one that I was cuddling with all day today. Our bio baby surprise, little Reagan. So we had to get a bigger house. And yeah, we got a higher interest rate because the interest rate we had when we refinanced during COVID or pre-COVID or around that time, whatever, was super low. So now we're paying a lot more. And that stinks. I'm hoping interest rates will go down and mortgage rates will go down so I can refinance within the next couple of years. That's the plan anyway. But as far as this idea of a 30-year or 40-year or 50-year mortgage, or now they're talking about these portable mortgages where you can bring the mortgage you have to another home, which I don't know how that works. But the fact is the government is so involved in this, which is crazy. And we're debating whether or not we should allow homeowners to get a 50-year mortgage. I don't think it's anybody's business, quite frankly, but between you and the bank. I mean, if it works for you and you want to do it, go ahead. I mean, it's not my money. It's not my house. That's up to you. It's amazing to me how we've kind of come so far past that point where we even have that conversation. Like, well, why is it the government's business anyway? If you want to do a 50-year mortgage. Now, the idea, of course, is that you've got the government backing certain mortgages. And obviously, we had a massive housing bubble that occurred. And then we had to do all these bailouts and everything like this. And we enabled people who were really not qualified to get mortgages to get mortgages. But that's the government getting involved. The government got involved and pushed these banks to give these loans, these risky loans, to people that really were not, I mean, couldn't afford them, quite frankly. And that, again, is the government. And then all of a sudden, you reach a point where people can't afford their mortgage. And you turn around and you go, well, how'd they get the mortgage in the first place? Well, it's because the government was pushing these banks to give these loans. So we've got this wacky, crazy system of home ownership in this country where the federal government and the Federal Housing Authority and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are so involved in this that I don't know. It's just kind of funny to me that the whole idea of why is it the government's business if you enter into a loan in the first place, but they're so entrenched. So we'll talk about that as the show goes on today, because it's a very controversial move. And people that don't like it say it's just a gift to the banks and you're never going to own your home. But like I said before, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people wind up when they have kids, like our plan we have when our kids are older and they fly the coop is to downsize and get the hell out of here because the house is, you know, it's a lot. It's, you know, like we don't have like a super big house or anything, but I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people, when their kids go to college, they wind up downsizing and getting a smaller place. And so, I mean, unless you're able to really pay off your mortgage and who's in a house for 30 years? I know our parents were at one time, and maybe you're in that position. I don't know, but I think there's a whole generation of people now that maybe they're in a house for 10 years, then they wind up getting a bigger house, and then they wind up downsizing to a different house. Are you always paying a mortgage? Do you ever really pay off something? But you're still building equity as you're paying off that mortgage. And you're as the mortgage goes down, and theoretically the value of the home goes up, you're building equity. So whether that equity is being built over 10 years or 15 years or 50 years, I mean, you're still building up the equity in the home. You can always pay more, at least in some states. I don't know every state's rules on this, but one thing I think that would help is to make sure that everybody is allowed to pay early and pay more, because if you can throw a little more principal at it every month, like in other words, if you were to have a 50-year loan on your house and every month you were able to throw an extra couple hundred bucks of principal towards it, and then you're paying it off faster, that's another option, because now you're lowering what you owe and you're building up equity in that. And then at some point, if you go to sell, you've got a lot of equity and maybe you can buy your next house flat out, or at least have a very low mortgage on that house because you built up so much equity over time. I just know that for this idea of saying that if we did 50-year mortgages, it would be a permanent rental economy. I'm just not sure I agree with that, because if you're planning to stay in the home for 10 years anyway, and you do a 50-year loan, so you get a low monthly nut. And don't forget, you got to factor in your homeowner's insurance. You got to factor in your property taxes. I mean, it's fun when you go online, like we've done this exercise, and you put in, you know, how much of a mortgage you want. And you go, wow, that's really low. And then you factor in your monthly property tax bill, and you factor in your homeowner's insurance, and you go, wow, that's not so low anymore. So, I mean, depending on where you live and what your property taxes are, that's also a thing. I just, frankly, am of the opinion that it's not my business or anybody else's business if people want to, like, if you get a 7-year car loan or a 5-year car loan. I mean, if you're not going to keep the car for 7 years and you want to do a 7-year loan so you get a lower monthly payment, and then you're going to get rid of that car anyway. I mean, that's up to you. Not, there are a lot of people I know that don't even own cars. They just keep leasing. Every time their lease is up, they just get another lease. I'm not that person. I like to buy cars. I like to buy them and then just drive them until they fall apart. That's kind of my philosophy of things. But then again, I've heard the argument from, like, a buddy of mine who's a mechanic. And he's one of the guys I make wine with, you know, so we were all making wine together. And I said, oh, you know, the lease on my wife's Volvo is coming up and we're probably just going to buy the car. And he said, you shouldn't do that. You should just get another lease. And I said, yeah, but I don't want a monthly car payment. He said, yeah, but if you know, with the lease, it's covered. Everything's covered. So breakdowns are covered and the service is covered and you don't have to worry about it. And, you know, you just have that peace of mind versus you're driving a car that's older and then, you know, you need a new engine or you need a, and then of course you get into the whole, and you see the commercials all the time with many prominent or not so prominent talk show hosts endorsing these car loans, you know, for these breakdowns that occur. I have not personally had the best experience with those in the past. I'm not saying, I can't speak to each individual one. I just know that a lot of them, some of them, you got to read the fine print because it's aftermarket parts. And, you know, it's just, anyway, there's some people that just don't want to ever own a car. I have friends like that. They just want a lease and they love the fact that every 3 years when the technology changes, they're getting the latest technology. And a lot of that technology, too, is safety because, you know, nowadays cars are basically constantly scanning the environment. And like with my wife's car, for example, the Volvo, we back up, it starts yelling at us if we get too close to something. With my Jeep, I don't have that. I have a camera. But if I back up, it doesn't warn me. It doesn't stop. My wife's car brakes. Like, it stops. You know, it's got accident prevention. And I was thinking about the fact of how many lives could be saved with cars that actually have those kind of safety features in it. You know, I mean, I've told you this before. My brother passed away. He had a car accident when he was 21 years old. So, I mean, we're going back to 2002. So, you know, it was a long time ago. But, and I always think about that in the sense of if he had had those modern safety features, would it have avoided the tree that he hit? Would it have stopped the car? So I think about that for my kids in the future in the sense of, well, when they're old enough to drive, I would hope that I'm in a position where I can get them a car that, even if it's a used car, or we can give them our used car that has all those safety features in it to give them a better chance of surviving or avoiding an accident altogether, because there's just a lot of very distracted, bad freaking drivers out there on the road. You may have noticed that. And there's other people that have no interest in ever owning their home. I mean, I have friends who they paid off their mortgage. That was their priority. They just kept paying off their mortgage and they owned their house free and clear. Then they went to apply for college loans and they got completely screwed because they own their home. And it actually worked against them getting financial aid, which sounds crazy. But I mean, I'm not a financial advisor and there's mixed opinions on this. And I'm sure that you could find five financial advisors who'd say one thing and five who'd say another thing. But for some people, they just say, I want to buy this house. I'm going to live in this house. I know I'm never going to own this house. because I'm not going to be in this house for 30 years. So I'm going to take out a 30-year loan because it's cheaper than doing a 10-year loan. I can't afford a 10-year loan on it. So I'm going to do a 30-year loan. And I know I'm going to be out of here in 15 years. So, yeah, when I buy the next place, I'm going to have to whatever, you know, have to pay that off. I get that. But that's what I can do to make it work and live in a home and not have to live in an apartment or, you know, I mean, everybody's different in that sense. So I just don't like the idea of the government really getting involved in this in the first place and like giving people permission. This is what makes me laugh about this whole conversation. It's like, well, should people have the permission to do a 50-year loan? Yes, of course they should. If they want to get into a mortgage arrangement like that with their bank, yeah. I mean, I don't know why the government should be able to say yes or no to that. I don't get this. We've created this system, which was created under FDR or Wilson or one of those progressives, where the government has all this say over this process. And again, it was designed to make sure that people could afford homes and get into homes and everything like that. And yeah, but the idea that we would have to ask the government, like, oh, please, daddy government, can I do a 50-year loan so that I can have a lower monthly nut and be able to buy my dream home, even though I know I'm not going to live there for 50 years? Because if I did, I'd be dead, and I'm not going to die in this house. But I love it, and I want to be able to have it for at least the next 10 years, and that lower monthly nut works for us. It's like, why do I need Washington's opinion or Washington's approval for that? I can't really get that. You know, that's the part of me, I guess, the libertarian in me that just doesn't really quite understand it. And, you know, if you're looking at the government's role, every time the government has gotten involved in this stuff, it just backfires. Like every time the government has worked to get people into homes, it has wound up blowing up. That's what happened with the first housing crisis, the big housing crisis that we had a couple decades ago. That's what happened. I mean, we had the Obama administration was hell-bent on getting people into homes, and then people got all these loans they couldn't afford. And then as the market changes or their economic situations change, and then next thing you know, they can't afford their payments anymore. And then what happens? The government comes in to bail everybody out. It's a crazy situation. It really is. But I don't know if the portable mortgage idea is going to work, because I don't know if you've got a 3% interest rate and that's what's keeping you from moving into another home, but then you buy a home that's, say, twice the size, and then the bank's going to turn around and go, well, yeah, but we're not going to let you bring your 3% mortgage over from the house that you bought that was 1,500 square feet. This one's 5,500 square feet or whatever it is. Like, no, you know, we're not going to do that. I don't know if the government really should be in the business of telling the banks that they should let you bring that mortgage over to the new house. I don't know if that's the government's role in all this. But again, we have so much government involved in every layer of our lives right now that very few people have even stopped to say, well, what freaking business is it of the government anyway, if you want to do a 50-year loan or a 100-year loan or a 200-year mortgage? I don't know. I mean, that's between you and the bank. It's like, it reminds me, actually, of the whole thing with Trump when they had the going after the so-called inflated property values. That's between him and the bank. If he says the place is worth $500 million and the bank says, okay, great, and here's the loan and here's the insurance and everything else, like that's between him and the bank. That's nobody got hurt, and yet they prosecuted him for it. And why did they prosecute him? Well, they wanted to get him, obviously, but they prosecuted him because we have this notion that the government gets a say in these transactions. So the government can jump in and go, well, that property was not worth, Mar-a-Lago is only worth $50 or whatever it is. And so, you know, the bank should not have underwritten that, or we only value it at $64. It's like, what? Who the hell are you to get involved in this? It's a private commercial transaction or private transaction. No business to be involved in this. So I guess we'll see about that, too. I don't know. I just I hate government getting involved in these things. And the immediate reaction from everybody is whether or not we think the government should let us, versus whether or not we think it's a good idea financially. The first question should not even be a question, like, should the government let us? That's not their role. The only question is whether or not it makes sense financially. And that's up to you and your family and your bank and your financial situation. So I'm listening to this debate over this situation, and Brian Kilmeade was on, and he was talking about this, and he's like, well, why shouldn't people be able to do that? And I'm of the exact same opinion. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. I'm just saying, why does the government get to decide whether you should or you shouldn't? You make that choice up. You decide that. You look at the finances and figure if it works for you. You may decide a 50-year mortgage is great. I know I'm never going to buy this place outright, but maybe what I'll do is, as we get bonuses, not that I get any bonuses in this industry, but you know, we'll throw money at the principal, we'll throw more, and then eventually we'll have a lot of equity because this house is going to boom. This house one day is going to be worth, in 5 years, a whole lot more than it's worth now. But the only way I can get into that house right now is if I do a 50-year loan. Okay, that works for you. Who am I to say? And people go, oh, it's a gift to the banks. Well, yeah, banks are in it to make money. Yes, that's the whole point of a bank lending you money in the first place. They're making money. That's their incentive. That's why they give you the money. That's why they take the risk on the loan and give you a mortgage, because they're making money. Like, banks are not a charity project. Banks are there to make sure their shareholders make money and make sure they make money too. So I just find, I don't know. To me, the whole thing is silly from that perspective. I just think the better conversation is whether or not it makes financial sense for you and your family. Not whether or not the government should say, okay, we'll let you do it. But we've come so accustomed to that with everything from student loans and the government's involvement in student loans, which, of course, you know, making sure that that people could get more student loans, which, of course, drove up the cost of college. Because if the college knows that they've got this group of people who, no matter what you charge, they're going to get a loan for it and they're going to be able to come to that college, and the government's underwriting it, and the government's pushing this, well, it doesn't, I mean, what stops them from building a $35 million gym and paying professors $500,000 a year and then raising their tuition up to $85,000, because they know there'll be a wait list at that school regardless. And it just means that the people are going to have higher loans, more loans, but we turn around and go, well, we've just made college more affordable for everybody. Have we, or have we created a complete debtor economy by doing that, because we've encouraged all these student loans? I don't know. I'm just saying that everything seems to be, whether it's with car loans and whether it's with homes and whether it's with college, it seems like the government getting involved in this has created a lot of these problems. And we're also looking at another problem that the government has created when it comes to homes, which is just regulation. I mean, we have a supply problem, but that supply problem is largely driven by the fact that there are many places where you can't build homes because the government has turned around and designated this area as a preservation area. Can't build there, can't build there. If you want to expand your house, there's so many zoning laws and regulations and costs and fees and permits and everything else you got to do. So there's so much government involved in the reason why we don't have more homes in the first place. I mean, there are places just in New Jersey. There's the Skylands region where it's very difficult to build up there. There's the Pinelands region where it's very difficult to build there. Then there's wetlands restrictions. They've got the EPA came out with their own restrictions under the Obama administration and the Biden administration dealing with where you can build, how far you can build, where close to water in your backyard, if there's a stream or something like this. And then you get into, well, the home has to be, it can't have septic. It's got to be sewer. I mean, all these different things that lead to a lack of housing. And so then what the government does is the government turns around and goes, okay, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to build affordable housing. So we're going to build high density housing, and we're going to jam in all these units and cram in all these units here. And then we're going to, instead of what could have been potentially single family homes. And then suddenly all of those environmental restrictions that were there are gone, like that, just like that. You find most towns where they've got to build their allotment of affordable housing, and you find out that suddenly all those environmental restrictions disappear, whatever they were, it doesn't matter. wetlands restrictions, the restrictions around the coverage, because there's this weird thing where you've got to have a certain amount of coverage from, you can't have too many trees, and then of course there's the runoff and all that nonsense, and suddenly it's all gone. The EPA gives waivers, the DEP gives waivers, and then the construction goes into the ground for high density housing, and all of a sudden you turn around and you go, holy cow. Man, I guess they weren't that concerned with these environmental factors in the first place. It's pretty funny. All right, we'll talk more about that. You can weigh into 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. If you'd like, you can weigh in on our YouTube chat. You can also weigh in on X as well, at Rich Zeoli, if you'd like to do that. We got some great guests coming up. The president and the first lady just signed an executive order to make America's foster care system fairer and more effective than ever before. Good. You know, as a dad who proudly adopted two beautiful children, not through foster, but I still think anything we can do to make adopting a child in this country easier would be great. That's another area where government has stuck its big snout in and made life impossible for a lot of people, and cumbersome and expensive. It costs about $50,000, at least when we did, to adopt a child. And unlike if you have a child when you procreate, the government comes into your home and inspects it. You got to go to school. We had to go to adoption school and learn how to parent. Then we had to do multiple inspections. Then we had to have social workers come to the house. And we had to answer all these questions. And we had to pay a whole lot of cash. And when the first baby didn't work out, if you remember back then, before we had Patrick, which was a miracle. I mean, that was a gift. I mean, thank God it worked out the way it did. But at the time, the fees that we paid, the adoption agency said, well, we'll apply them to the next adoption. So you're out of pocket like 50 grand. And it's like when you go to return something at a store and they go, well, we'll give you a store credit because you don't have your receipt. So you have a store credit now. You can buy anything you want. It was like that with the adoption. It's like, well, you've spent all this money, so we'll apply it to the next adoption. And I just kept thinking, well, we want to adopt still. But what if we didn't? Like, what if the whole process had made us decide we were done? We would just be out that money. I know. It's crazy. It really is a crazy, crazy thing. And the state fees and everything else. But government loves to be involved in everything. So anything we can do to make it easier to adopt a child would be wonderful. And give foster kids the ability to have a permanent home would be wonderful as well. So we'll cover that for you, too. That's the Big Story of the Hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge. Check out those year-end benefits. Make sure you're not missing out, because you don't want to leave money on the table, right? Absolutely not. All right, big show for you today. Lots of great guests coming your way. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
I just had to throw a little powder on. I realized I was super red. I have this 4K camera now, which is really cool. But it's brutal if you don't put powder on, especially with my skin, because I get very red. And I just literally took a shower like 10 minutes before the show. Because as I mentioned, my daughter's sick, so I was cuddling with her all day and helping her through her sick day. Special daddy-daughter day. I don't have a Fox makeup artist here, but I did have to throw a little powder on. I was like, oh my God, it's red. It's very red. But, yeah, and I have the rosacea, so that my skin gets red, too. And I was running around like a nut. Because I mean, normally, I have a lot more time to prepare for the show and get ready and everything like this, but I don't even know if my hair is dry yet. So, but these are the things you do as a dad, as a world-class dad. Just reading the YouTube chat, yeah, people can't believe it costs that much to adopt. It's true. It's very expensive. And a lot of people take out loans, and many people, well, there's this organization called helpusadopt.org where you can go and apply for financial help with that. We were fortunate in the sense that we didn't have to do that because we, we just were able to pay it, but I don't want to say it took like a kid loan, because that doesn't sound great. And the whole idea of buying a person doesn't sound good anyway. But you pay fees that have to go, the agency fees, the state fees, the this fee, the that fee. There's fees on everything, friggin' everything. So on that note, let's talk with the president and the first lady today as they spoke about this foster care system in the United States. And the president said, and we'll start with Cut 27, signing an executive order to make America's foster care system better, fair, more effective. Cut 27.
This afternoon, I'm delighted to sign a historic executive order building on the Fostering the Future initiative to make America's foster care system better, fairer, and more effective than ever before. And it's been effective, but it's moving in a very strong direction. All of this has been made possible by Melania's incredible devotion to America's youth.
I noticed that when she had the Halloween thing at the White House, they put a special thing out there for foster and adoptive families to get priority tickets for the trick-or-treating at the White House. We did not take advantage of that. I couldn't get down there for that, but Cut 28.
Each year, more than 15,000 young people age out of the foster care system, and unfortunately, too many struggle to become self-sufficient. The order I will sign in a few moments will provide vital new resources to help young people transition out of the foster care system and live a very happy and a very successful life. Very, very successful. With this order, I'm directing the heads of the key federal departments and agencies to establish a Fostering the Future program in coordination with our wonderful First Lady's office. They're coordinating, and they've already been coordinating for quite some time, and I think I hear it's going really well. You're going to have some, when she gets involved in things, it works, I can tell you that. Under this major new initiative, great American companies and institutions will be signing a pledge to invest in teaching, training, and mentoring America's youth who are transitioning out of the foster care system. This will help provide jobs, education, and personal development opportunities to fantastic young people who truly need and deserve them, and they're going to get them.
There you go. All right. Now, on the issue of what we do with kids in America, and then what happens, whether they're adopted, foster, born biologically, whatever. Cut 25 is Justice Neil Gorsuch, who talked about we have to have a focus on American civics, civic education, and the founders. And I completely agree. You know, one of the reasons why I love bringing on Dr. Wilfred Riley every week is, and he wrote the book Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, is because there's not enough emphasis on the philosophy behind the founding of this country and the philosophy of a constitutional republic and the philosophy of keeping the government the hell out of your life. Like, the government's so in our lives right now that when there's a little thing that occurs that gets the government out of our life, for example, we celebrate when the government lets us have a high flow shower head. Like, think about that now. Like, I'm thrilled that the president is letting us have high flow shower heads. I'm thrilled. Because I don't have to buy them in the back of a truck like Kramer anymore. Or take a screwdriver and jimmy that thing and get high pressure. But the fact that we have to be joyful when the government says, we're going to let you have a washing machine that actually lets you wash your clothes, that actually gets your clothes clean, and a dishwasher that will actually clean your dishes. And we go, oh my God, this is amazing. It shows you how far we've come. Because we didn't fight a revolution to create a federal government. I mean, first of all, we didn't fight the revolution to create a federal government. But I'm saying that after that was over and the states created the federal government, the purpose was not to make sure that you have the kind of light bulbs. Now, granted, they may not have been invented yet, but you get my point. To have the kind of dishwasher. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they weren't debating whether or not the government should be in your kitchen. We always talk about the government staying out of your bedroom. Nobody has a problem with the government in your kitchen. Like my buddy Ray, who's a he's an appliance guy. So he was down. I saw him in Gloucester County. We were down in Washington Township the Sunday before the election when we were rallying in what we thought was going to be a very close election. Anyway. And his whole point is, if you look at new refrigerators today, there's a warning on them that they will explode. Like, take a look. Take a look at your, if you get a new refrigerator or a new ice machine or something like that, there's a giant warning label on it that this thing can freaking explode because of what they put in it for the environmental reasons. And it's basically a gigantic bomb sitting in your house. I couldn't believe this when he told me this. So the mistake I made, and I make a lot of mistakes when it comes to home ownership, in the old house was I got rid of all the old appliances. Stupid move. Dumb move. Because back then they made them to last. They made them to work. Nowadays, they make them so that they can have all these environmental functions. And then you turn around and you go, oh, the government's going to let us have more water. More water, please. Thank you. Thank you, Your Highness. Oh, how lovely. My toilet will actually flush down the poo now on one flush. I don't need to use two flushes. I don't need a plunger every time one of my children goes to the bathroom. How wonderful. That's not why we created a country. We didn't fight a revolution for this. So we have to teach civics. Because I want people to understand the philosophy of this. And this gets back to the whole home ownership argument. Whether or not you want to get a freaking 50-year loan or 150-year loan is none of my business. That's not my business. As long as the government stays the hell out of it, do whatever you want. Get a mortgage that's a 1,000-year mortgage. I don't care. If a bank wants to give you that and that works for you, knock yourself out. Go for it. It's none of my business. But we've become so accustomed to this now with everything. I mean, think about it. Tell me one inch of your house that does not have some sort of government involved in it in some way, shape, or form. Honestly, find me an area of your home that doesn't have the government involved. Like we chanted and screamed, I want the government out of my bedroom, except when it comes to the light bulbs and the kind of TV I have and whether or not if we're going to have like a little mini fridge in the bedroom, which we don't. But if we did, that mini fridge is a little bomb. Big little explosive bomb. that could blow up. You don't believe me? Look at the warning label on there. They put in all these freaking chemicals in there, and then it can blow up. So, yes, I want the government out of my bedroom, except when it comes to my light bulb, my shower, my toilet, my sink, my faucet, and all the other nonsense that I don't even know about, that I have no clue about. And if I break the law on that, I might wind up going to prison. Like the story I told you about yesterday with that guy who was hiking and went on the wrong trail in a national park, and they wanted to put the guy in prison. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill a bear. He didn't kill another hiker. He wasn't some mad serial killer. And there are a lot of those in the national parks, you know, running around. Oh, yeah. No, I'm serious about this. My fear of camping, and I love to camp, but my fear is a serial killer. It's not a bear. It's a serial killer. They're all over the place in those national parks. But the point is, this guy didn't kill anybody. He didn't skin a bear alive and, like, run around in a bear suit, scare other hikers. He just made a wrong turn, went down a trail, didn't see that the sign said the trail was closed, and they were going to put the guy in freaking prison until he got a pardon by the President of the United States. A pardon for hiking? Real? Are you kidding me? And then I told you the story yesterday about the people, the fishermen, who saw 19 sharks caught in a line and thought that those sharks were being poached. And they freed the sharks and they went and told the authorities about it. And instead of them getting a medal, you know what they did? They tried to put the two guys in prison, as in prison, like next to serial killers, that kind of prison. And the guys were like, we thought the sharks were being illegally poached. We thought we were doing a good thing. And they're like, no, it turns out the National Oceanographic and Administrative Agency was catching the sharks for research purposes. And you stole their fishing line. And so for that, we're going to send you to federal prison. And they had to get a pardon. The Pacific Legal Foundation had to get involved and make sure these guys got a pardon. As today, I was watching How the Grinch Stole Christmas with my daughter. And all I kept thinking of is when the Grinch finally realizes the error in his ways and how Christmas is a wonderful time of joy and tries to return everything, returns everything. The trees he took, the wreaths he took, the roast beast, all the gifts. All I kept thinking of is in real life, they would have locked him up. They would have arrested the Grinch for stealing all that stuff. And even though he said he was sorry, and even though he came back and had a change of heart, and even though he returned everything, they also would have arrested him for animal cruelty, for the way he used that dog and the moose thing, whatever, and for probably not having a sled that met the requirements of whatever environmental thing of Whoville. And they would have slapped cuffs on the Grinch and he would have been gone. That's all I kept thinking of. And the fact that when little, what's her name? Boo Hoo. What's her name? The little Wendy Who, little Who, when she goes to the Grinch's house and invites him to Christmas dinner, this little boohoo girl with the pigtails, whatever her name is, comes up to the Grinch's house by herself, unsupervised, without a parent, and invites the Grinch, a basic stranger, to come to their house for Christmas dinner, and then gets on her little tube, Wendy Lou Who, and then she tubes back. And then she, by herself... No, it's Cindy Lou Who. Thank you, Matt DeSantis. And yes, Greg Stocker, I can use a screwdriver. Not well. I don't know the difference. I mean, when I say use a screwdriver, I mean hire someone to use a screwdriver. But that's the point that I was making. I hire someone to use a screwdriver on my behalf. Well, I watch and think how incredibly unhandy I am. But that little girl by herself, unsupervised, going up to the Grinch's house, knocking on his door, inviting him to dinner. That guy could be a pedophile. There's no way Dawn would let her. No chance. And then she, unsupervised, sleds down a mountain by herself. What is she, 5, 6? They would lock the cuffs on her parents in a heartbeat. The Grinch would show up for that Christmas dinner, and the feds would be there waiting for him for all the environmental things he did wrong, all the stealing he did. And they would lock up the parents, too, for letting little Cindy Lou Who on her own to go up to that mountain and sled back after inviting the Grinch to Christmas dinner. That's all I kept thinking. And I know what you're thinking. Zioli, maybe you do this too much, that you can't even watch the freaking Grinch Who Stole Christmas without finding out all the ways that the government would be getting involved and ruining everybody's Christmas. Like, maybe you need a break. Maybe, you know... And that's fair. And that is totally fair. I get that. That is a understood and well taken criticism. Or suggestion or piece of advice that I can't just simply enjoy a Christmas story with my daughter and laugh and enjoy without thinking, oh my goodness, there'd be 17 different federal agencies involved in this right now. And poor little Cindy Lou Who would be in foster care. And then we'd have to have a president coming out and signing an executive order to let little Cindy Lou Who out of the foster care system because the foster care system is so freaking crazy. But that would only be after the authorities did a thorough inspection of Mrs. Who's home to make sure that Mrs. Who was not abusing Cindy Lou Who, who she let go up the mountain by herself and then sled down. I know. And see, this is why when you bust my chops or taking off a Friday, which I'm not doing tomorrow, but when I do, this is why, because this stuff gets into your brain and you can't just watch a movie with your daughter. But I digress. The point is that Justice Neil Gorsuch is making the point about teaching civics to our children, and he's absolutely right about that. I could not agree more. And sorry, it's Greg Edwards, not Greg Stocker, who said that. Thank you, Greg. Yes, I can use a screwdriver. Cut 25.
It seems like a lot of my generation and the younger generation, those stories just aren't taught in schools.
Oh, you want a break? All right, we'll take a break. We can take a quick break. We'll come back with that because I don't want to just gloss over that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back as we continue along the show here today. We got some great guests coming up in the 4 o'clock hour too. The authors of the book about Bob Menendez, Gold Bar Bob. I'm excited to have that conversation with them. But let me tell you about my friends at the Tri-County Auto, because they got some great specials for you right now. If you're interested in purchasing a car or leasing a car, financing a car, buying a previously owned car, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. What I know is that they're going to take great care of you at Tri-County. Tri-County Toyota and Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. They're wonderful people. Brian and Cheryl Krieger, who I got to know very well through the Travis Manning Foundation, and their general manager, Jack Donaldson, terrific guy. Here are some of the specials they have right now. You can get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota. Lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5 and lease for $229 a month for 39 months. Or get rates as low as 2.99 or 3.99% financing. If you want to go Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, the wrap-up the year sales event is happening now at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. You can lease a new 2025 Jeep Compass Limited for just $328 a month. For 42 months. If you want to go bigger, 2025 Ram truck, 0% financing for 72 months, or a new 2026 Ram truck with 0% financing for 60 months. That's what I mean. You got great options, great financing available. You can lease, you can buy whatever you want. Just go to Tri-County and say hello. It's a great dealership. 422, off of 422, Limerick, easy to get to, Collegeville, Exton, King of Prussia, the main line, Jersey, wherever, and they'll take great care of you because they're great friends, and they are our official car sponsor of the show. Go to tricounty.com and see all the great specials, tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
So, Chris Eppolito said, the Zioli that stole the magic of the Grinch that stole Christmas with his overthinking of government overreach tonight on the Hallmark Network. Well played. Very, very good. Well done. Michael Cooper wanted to know if I watched the cartoon or the movie. We watched the cartoon. The movie's kind of creepy with Jim Carrey. Isn't it? You've seen that one, Justin, right? In that freaking weird green costume that Jim Carrey's in?
To be fair, I'll be honest. I kind of prefer the Jim Carrey one.
Do you?
Yeah. I guess it's like I like a bunch of Jim Carrey movies. I like The Mask. I like Evan Almond. Like, the goofy facial expressions just kind of do something for me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, still one of the funniest movies ever.
Oh, yeah. He went on, like, Jim Carrey went on, like, a streak of absolute heater movies in, like, late 90s, early 2000s.
And then he went and played, what was he, the Riddler?
Yeah.
In Batman? Oh, God. That was
bad.
I like
to forget that one happened.
Oof. I mean, that whole movie was bad, but it was Jim Carrey versus Tommy Lee Jones on who could be more over the top. As Val Kilmer stood there with his mouth open the entire time as Batman. A train wreck of a movie.
Was that the one that also had Arnold in it? Was that?
No, that was Batman and Robin with George Clooney.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the worst movies ever made in the history of movies. But still manages to not be the worst Batman. And actually a very, very good Bruce Wayne. But a stupid, dumb, terrible movie. Still not the worst Batman. We all know who that is. I don't need to say his name. I'm not going to utter his name, but we know. But that movie was ridiculous. That was where Arnold Schwarzenegger had all the dumb puns about freezing everything. Remember?
Everyone, chill.
Yeah, exactly. You had Alicia Silverstone in that as Batgirl. You had, I believe, Uma Thurman was Poison Ivy, and she was going to try to take over the city. But he was going to freeze everything, which, of course, would have killed all of her Ivy. But yet they were working together, which made no sense. And at one point, they had skates that were attached to their shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, my God. I totally...
They had the bat ice skates. It got so ridiculous that they killed the franchise, but it led to Christopher Nolan taking over. And then 2005, Batman Begins. So... somebody put it once, if this is what we had to go through to get Nolan, fine. You know what I mean? But that movie is ridiculous. I don't know the last time you've watched it. It is so dumb. It makes the 1960s Batman look like a serious crime drama. That's how dumb and over the top that movie is. I'm not kidding. All right, we got some great guests coming up. We're going to talk about Bob Menendez and his criminal enterprise. We're going to do that straight ahead. It's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.